Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here, talking some Penn State football for the next hour. Coming to you, as we always do, from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Got a little news to recap from the weekend. Also, the NFL Combine, we'll look at that from a Penn State perspective, and really just anything else that jumped off the page from the weekend. Whether you think that that's an overblown sort of, four ratings kind of event or not, we are having this discussion. I think there's some importance that comes out of this. Penn State guys did okay for themselves. We didn't have any combine standouts, but we had some guys who were pretty solid out there. We're going to talk some Penn State basketball. Jeff Brown's going to join us in a little bit, and we'll double dip on Penn State hoops and just look ahead. Two regular season games left. Then we'll look into the Big Ten tournament and what's in store for these guys in the NCAA tournament, which I'm not real sure at this point, but we'll talk that through. News from the weekend, Sunday, another decommitment. I say another decommitment, but the first decommitment in the 2021 class didn't actually stick. So I think Penn State is down to 1.5 commits in the 2021 class. Nick Elsness, a three-star tight end from Jacksonville, Florida, decommitted. And I saw something out there that he was planning on taking a trip to Ohio State. I don't know if that's fact or fiction or overblown, but the point being, only Nate Bruce and Liam Clifford remain in the 2021 class.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, I think when you look at this one, Dustin, I don't think anyone's really blown away by this decision by Nick Elkins to open his commitment. He visited Florida earlier in the month. It seemed like there was some pressure maybe for him to play closer to home and be a guy who stayed in the Sunshine State instead of going all the way to State College. And I think that, you know, this is probably the first time that we see this February dead period really hurt Penn State, because they couldn't go see him and answer any questions or concerns that he had. He couldn't come to campus and maybe revisit why he liked Penn State so much. And so it really just puts everyone in kind of a tough spot, because there's, again, nothing you can really do at that point. You pretty much just have to try and convince him over the phone. And, Penn State was not able to do that. So we'll see. Yeah, I think that, you know, obviously, it stings, it hurts, it's not what you want to start the month of spring practice with, but they have a pretty, if a position was going to have to kind of reset itself, tight end would be the one to do it at. I mean, you have obviously one more year, we assume, of Pat Freiermuth, and then you have Zach Kuntz, Brenton Strange, and Theo Johnson waiting in the wings along with Tyler Warren. So you have pretty good depth there, and they'll find somebody in this class. They were pretty quick to send out a couple offers Sunday night, just hours after Elkins decommitted, and they'll be able to figure it out in due time.
An early commitment from a kid that's 1,000 miles away.
Right.
What could go wrong?
Right.
The other one that comes to mind is Justin Fields in the 18 class. It's just tough. But
right
here, I would also say, to your point about the dead period, if you're going to have a kid decommit at a time when you can't respond to him, you can't answer his questions, then you probably don't really want that kind of commitment in your class anyway. And I think James Franklin has said that. He probably, as he mentions quite often, he probably tried to talk Elkins out of committing in the first place.
Right.
And so now, I don't think it's a big loss given the position. Tight end has definitely become a position now where you got to get one every cycle, right?
Like, right.
You can do so many things with the tight end. You have to get one every cycle. They did get two in Theo Johnson and Tyler Warren in the previous cycle. And Tyler Warren is a guy in a couple years, you know, that's his development arc. I think Theo Johnson's going to be ready right away, but this depth chart should be in pretty good shape for the foreseeable future.
Correct.
That kind of comes down to, Theo Johnson, Zach Kuntz, Brenton Strange. You know, 2020 is an interesting year because at least one of those guys has to kind of step up and show that they can be the starter of the future.
Right.
But Penn State does have options there. I know everybody's head goes to this place, but just the idea of a slow start in this class and how much does it have to do with just a little bit of uncertainty now with the coaching staff and new voices and new a new staff dynamic, new guys getting out there and recruiting certain territories for the first time?
Right.
I don't think the slow start is an issue, and I don't think the fact that the coaching staff is new, but at this very stage, where what can they do to answer kids' right. questions? I mean, there's a lot of this they need to show it at practice and show it in games, but it's just the formula for a slow start, I guess.
Yeah, it's frustrating, I'm sure, for the coaching staff, because they were in a pretty good place with a lot of their top targets, especially on offense, and now you're basically stuck in neutral, and there's not a whole heck of a lot you can do about it. And the reason for that is simply you have a lot of guys who are new, and some of these players were able to meet these coaches while they're at another school. But it's one thing to have an idea of who Phil Troutwine or who Taylor Stubblefield is. It's another thing to be able to conceptualize how the way they develop guys is going to influence the way Kirk Sciarca runs his offense, and will it, make Penn State better in 2020? It's hard to say that. And I also think that a lot of these, especially the offensive linemen, which this is one of the best years, I think, in a while for Mid-Atlantic offensive line talent. And you're not starting from scratch, because Troutwine did know some of those guys when he was at Boston College, but you're certainly playing from behind. There's no doubt about that. And so what do you do? At this point, you have to basically hope that you can get those guys on campus either this month or next and try and really reset the board there and remind them that, hey, look, even though that you don't necessarily have this great relationship with this position coach, Coach Franklin's still here. A lot of the other coaches, especially on the defensive side, are still here. We are moving this thing forward, and we are the same. We still have the same principles and things that we stand for that we did when Coach Limegrover was here, Coach Ronnie was here, whatever. So that'll be the challenge they face right now. And I think it'll make this time of year always slow, but even more so this year, just because they have lost any momentum they had with a lot of these guys.
Speaking of spraying the blue-white games, coming soon, gopsurv.com has you covered. Their best deals ever. RVs for the weekend are starting at just $500. Even better, whatever you spend on the spring game can then be used as a credit for any game in the fall. You spend the weekend in a luxury RV, enjoy 4-9 tailgate club barbecue and a free bus ride to and from the stadium. Go to gopsurv.com, or you can call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for all the details. Really cool deal for the blue-white game. And that's coming soon. The calendar is now officially March.
Yeah.
Things are pointing in that direction, which I think is phenomenal. To have some kind of football back and some kind of real developments with this team will be fun. I think, for this coaching staff, you look at Kirk Sciarca and say, okay, if he can do with Sean Clifford what he did with Tanner Morgan, then what kind of factor are they going to be now for quarterback prospects going forward? But Caleb Williams, for example, the five-star from D.C., before he commits, he's not really going to get a chance to see that in action.
Right.
He's going to have to buy into what the staff is telling them and all that. And I think Phil Troutwine, I just have a good sense that he's going to be a phenomenal hire for Penn State. Again, you're not going to see the quality of this offensive line really in action until the fall, but I think his coaching has a good chance to lure some of that, that prime Mid-Atlantic talent,
right,
to Penn State. So we'll see, but it is a weird position now. Spring practice does give an opportunity to show how you coach, what the team looks like, and have these guys kind of come check out practice. We didn't get a chance to talk about Franklin's contract, by the way. I don't know. You broke down the numbers more thoroughly than I did, but when you add all the compensation up, we're looking at, north of $7 million a year.
Yeah, so I mean, the biggest difference being that life insurance thing that I believe he can withdraw from, but I mean, that's a Michigan used that same tactic as well to sort of sweeten the pot a little bit and provide some security for Jim Harbaugh's future, and Penn State does it here with James Franklin. So yeah, I mean, when you put all the money together, it's a pretty hefty salary that was deserved. And I think that while we were confused at first why there was such a delay between verbal agreement and finally signing off on the contract and getting the basic terms released, I do think that the life insurance part of it probably played a role too. I'm pretty sure that when you you're a high level college football coach and the stress and everything that comes with it, you can't just walk into the insurance office and say, "I would like $1 million policy," whatever it was that he got. You know,
I don't know what
I don't think we could get one. Just guys that talk on the radio. So,
but like you think about what Franklin is worth, though. Like,
right,
doesn't mean to sound morbid, but like the worth to his family, like. What kind of amount would you need?
Right.
You know, like you're looking at I want an insurance policy worth $1 billion.
Right.
That's what I have.
Yeah, I figured.
Because I figure that in the next 600 to 700 years, that's about, I'll get about halfway to earning that.
Right.
So, but yeah, that could have been a sticking point, I guess. But I think to your point, Franklin, he's going to have his detractors. Every college football coach in America does. You're going to have fans who talk about his game day management, his clock management, his decisions and all that. And I think a lot of that is fair sometimes. But if you look at what he brings to a program from a big picture perspective, I think our colleague Andy calls him a CEO all the time. And you kind of need to be. But you look at game day management, for example, is just a tiny – it's the most visible fraction of what you do.
Right.
But it's a tiny fraction of what a college football coach does. And if that's not a strength of his, he's got a million other strengths. And I think that this contract is deserved. I think every new contract that's signed by a coach is going to keep raising that bar some. But, you know, he deserves to be a top 10 paid coach because he is a top 10 coach. And, you know, people can doubt that or dispute that or whatever they want. But I think the results kind of speak for themselves.
Yes.
If you're mad at James Franklin because they haven't cracked that top four yet, I think you need to change your priorities up some. And I think you need to also say they're as close as anybody else. That top four is pretty entrenched. Penn State is as close as anybody else is to getting into that top four.
Agreed. No doubt about that. And, you know, again, this is what it costs to keep a guy like this around for the long term. Now, I was a little bit surprised that the buyout figure goes down by $1 million each year. I felt like Penn State could have had a little bit more leverage in that regard in keeping it, you know, maybe in that $5 million range for much of the contract. Instead, it's $5 million this year, $4 million next year, and it just, you know, it goes down by $1 million from there. So
what's the average buyout?
I would have to think it's somewhere between 5 and 7 million.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, for it to be that this year makes sense, but for it to go down over the duration of the contract. And I also find the bowl bonus funny. Like, I get it, but if you're paid like a top 10 coach in the country, shouldn't you just be why don't they just bend that into the contract? You know, give them an extra $200,000 each year and just assume that, hey, coach, we're going to have problems if you don't make a bowl game.
It's true. I think they should have just made it like $25 or something like that.
Yeah,
you,
right.
You get
to
a bowl game, there you go.
Yep.
Go out to Outback Steakhouse on us, coach.
That's right. Yes. And all the things that come with it. So I guess we'll get into the combine later because we didn't get that far. But
that's a whole separate segment.
Yeah, all right. Perfect.
Yeah, looking at the combine. We'll look at it from a Penn State perspective. They had a bunch of guys out there and just anything else that stood out about the event itself. So we'll take a quick break. Look at the NFL Combine. John Reed, KJ Hamler, Hector Gross Matos, all those guys. Stick around.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
The blue-white game is coming soon, and GoPSURV.com has you covered with their best deals ever. RVs for the weekend starting at just $500. Even better, whatever you spend on the spring game can be used as a credit for any game in the fall. Spend the weekend in a luxury RV. Enjoy 409 Tailgate Club Barbecue and a free bus ride to and from the stadium. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 800-519-8467 for all the details.